Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also want to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs in MP3 files. You also find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length in by alphabetical order on a variety of subjects and a host of other Bible-related material. We hope that you'll give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, who died for your sin in order that you and I might have eternal life. Today, we're going to continue our discussion of the works of the Apostle Peter, and we're going to finish up 2 Peter chapter 2 by looking at verses 19 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 to the end of the chapter. While they promised him liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb: a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing of the mire. Now, in these verses, we want to take a very close look at two things. We want to look at the conclusion of the false teacher, and once maybe he stood for the truth, but then he goes and begins to teach error, and what is going to be his end. And then we want to talk for a moment about eternal security with the very popular misguided theology of men that is taught in many circles in the religious world. We notice in verse 19, they enticed a faithful Christian by their lascivious ways with the promise of liberty, a perversion of the freedom that the disciples enjoy in Christ Jesus. The promise of freedom leads only to slavery, as they become a bondservant and are soon overcome, conquered, and vanquished by lust and sin. It is a straw man. It's really not liberty. It's bondage to sin. And then it says the last state: the false teachers are they who have once escaped defilement by their knowledge of the truth, but have then become ensnared or entangled again, and leave themselves in a worse state than where they began. They had the truth, they knew the truth, they understood the truth, but they slipped into error. They allowed themselves to be deceived, and they allowed themselves to be disillusioned and began to teach that which is contrary to God's will. Ignorance is better. They would have been better off had they not learned the truth than to know it, to receive it, obey it, and then turn their back on it. That's what verse 21 says. They would have been better had they never known the truth. And he illustrates this by showing the defiled state by a dog who returns to eat his own vomit, and the cleansed hog who returns to the mire and the mud to wallow in it after they've been washed. This is a fitting description of the low, defiled life of those twisted and perverted false teachers who seek the destruction of others, but in and of themselves, they become destroyed themselves. The standard, a standard to determine right and wrong, is implied throughout this chapter by such expressions as these: master that brought them, the way of truth, righteousness, godliness, knowledge of the Lord, the way of righteousness, the holy commandment delivered unto them. All these phrases imply that there is a divine standard. There is one source of truth, and all men must adhere to it. The character is a factor in determining whether a teacher can be labeled? That is a question that has been asked by many. Can one truly be called a false teacher without having a flawed character? No. The end result must always be considered. How can anyone know the intent, motive, or reasoning behind one teaching without them revealing it to them? I don't know why a man or woman teaches false. I don't know why they teach things contrary to God's will. And unless they reveal me to me their motive, there's no way I can judge it. All we can judge is the things which are taught and the end result if those things are followed and those things are believed and practiced. And the end result is that it will lead people into destruction. In Matthew 7, verse 20, we're told, judging by their fruit, by their fruits you shall know them. In Matthew 7, 15, we're warned of sheep wolves in sheep's clothing. And then in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we're told that if any man speaks, let him speak the words of God, as we previously had discussed. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, we're taught that we are not to go beyond what is written. And so there is a standard, there is a divine standard that must be adhered to. And when people go beyond it, it places them into sin, puts them in the path of destruction, and will lead to their soul being lost for all eternity. Now, this leads us to a bigger question that we want to examine in the few moments we have left this morning. There is a grand misconception that men can never fall who once start in a relationship with God, and they have named Jesus as their personal Savior, as the theory goes, and they've accepted Christ, and they allowed Him to come in their heart, and accepted Him as their personal Savior, and asked Him to cleanse them from their sin. And once they've done that, then they have been accepted by God, they're in a covenant relationship with God, and now they're on their way to heaven. And anything that they say or do, any action that they might perform, does not change one iota of their relationship with God or the salvation that He promised to those that love Him. Thus thinking has missed the point. There is no such theory taught in the Bible. In the passages that we've examined today and for the last few weeks in 2 Peter chapter 2, warns about the danger of false teachers. Why would we need to be warned of dangers of false teachers if men could never be led astray that would cost them their soul in eternity? If man could not be lost once he is saved, then what difference would the false teacher make? The false teacher could not change his eternal state. The false teacher would not be a threat to his salvation. Such teaching would violate the plain teaching of 2 Peter chapter 2. The 2 Peter chapter 2, the whole chapter, is dedicated to the danger of the false teacher and his destructive teaching and how it will cause man to be destroyed, who will face the wrath of God if they follow his precarious teaching that are contrary to God's will. Ladies and gentlemen, why are such passages in the Bible if man cannot be lost after they've accepted Christ? Such teaching has gone amiss. That is not what the Bible teaches. We must always be on guard. 1 John 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe the spirits, but test the spirits whether they be of God." 1 Corinthians 4, 6 says that we ought to learn not to go beyond what is written. And we are to examine. Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans, they were commended because they examined the teaching of the apostles. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things would be so. We are to examine. We are to look at what we're taught and compare it with what the Word of God says. That is our responsibility. That is the responsibility of every believer to make sure that they remain in the paths of righteousness. They cannot remain in the paths of righteousness if they go off into religious error. Religious error will lead a man into being at odds with God. You cannot practice evil You cannot practice disobedience, and you cannot practice false teaching and still gain heaven. It is a misnomer. It is unscriptural, and the Bible teaches it in no degree in any fashion. The false teacher is a real threat. His teaching is a real sure way to destruction. And we must make sure that what we're taught and what we believe is what God's book says. Ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to my program for any length of time in all the years I've been on this radio station, you know I've told you not to take my word for anything, but to open your mind, open your Bible, examine it, put it to the test, look at it, make sure that what I'm telling you is what the Scripture says, and if I told you anything that the Scripture does not say, then you point it out to me, and I will correct it on this program. But I have yet to have anybody ever do that, because I don't believe that they even examine what I say, because they think it doesn't matter. You believe it your way, I'll believe it my way, and we can all have fellowship, and we can all be together, and that we can all go to heaven. You go your way and I'll go my way. You do it your way, I'll do it my way, and we'll all end up in heaven together. It's a pipe dream. It's a myth. It is not true. It will not work. All roads do not lead to heaven. The road that leads to heaven is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. Read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" Jesus again said in Matthew 7:21, "Why do you call me? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And so we must do the Father's will. Where is the Father's will found? It is found in the Scripture. You must know the Scripture. You must make sure that you rightly divide the word of God. Read 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You must learn not to go beyond, as we made reference in just a moment ago, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. The false teacher is a danger to your soul. He will mislead you. He will misguide you. He will lead you into error. He will lead you astray. And if you continue to follow him, you will be lost for all eternity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why is this chapter in the Bible if man could never be lost once they enter a relationship with Jesus Christ? Such thinking has gone astray. People who teach this eternal security doctrine have missed the point. They make these passages, like 2 Peter 2, they make them meaningless. They have no meaning. They don't have any substance. They're just things that are written that really don't have any regard in our lives. Such has missed the point. Ladies and gentlemen, if you forget everything we've studied thus far this month about 2 Peter chapter 2, you remember that God said that if we follow this precarious position, that it will lead us to be destroyed. How can we be destroyed if we can never fall? Ask yourself that, ladies and gentlemen. Why the warning if it can never happen? Yes, it can happen. That's why God warns us. Open your mind. Open your Bible. Don't take any man's word for the truth. Search it out. Confirm it. Validate it. And when you find it to be the truth, follow it and believe it.